Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory, along with Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. Yeah, that too. And Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. I'm thinking ahead because I can't wait to hear what Sam did on his on his assignment.
Gentlemen, you set me up in a most inappropriate way because yesterday I was listening to the program. I was in bed. Now, I'm going to say I was not feeling well, but I will not tell you all that I was doing. All right? We'll just leave it at that, gentlemen.
Well, I got so excited about it, I forgot who I was here. So you
know. Well, it's incredible that it does those kind of things to you, but you don't want what I had, believe me.
Gary, all I will say is I was sick like Sam was one time. We had an entire hymn on the wall where I was spending most of my time. I had the entire song memorized by the time my illness was over.
There's always a bright side of everything.
There is indeed.
Well, I might have had some of that Sunday afternoon as well, and my evening service was in jeopardy. But, you know, God's good. To God be the glory. Great things Amen. He hath done. But we're glad to have you back from your significant assignment. And Dave and I talked about, checking it. You know how you, when you're a professor or a teacher, you check these assignments that students
have. I heard that.
We were going to check it, Dave. I don't know that we really want to check this assignment.
Well, I think probably not. I think discretion would dictate that we go no further.
I think we ought to move on to the real issues of the day.
Yeah.
Those kind of questions, gentlemen, remind me of the last presidential debate.
I knew you were going there, Sam.
What I mean? They were exactly it. And I think Christie said, come on, are we going to talk? What are we going to talk about here? I mean, gentlemen, let's get to the issues of the day, really.
Well, it's right on my agenda. I'm reading my agenda, the one you sent out, Sam.
All right.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us, and we do encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because right there you can correspond with us. And if you happen to be away from the radio, why, you can listen to us on your computer, because there is a link there to our anchor station, which is WFYL in Philadelphia. And talking about that, you may call into us at any time. Our toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180, or in the Philadelphia area, it is 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK, or toll-free across the country, 1-877-667-1180. Well, it is absolutely true that tonight will be another GOP debate. And I'm telling you what, they are just going bonkers with these debates. And it's going to be reduced down to, what is it, guys? It's going to be 4, is it, I believe, on the JV side at 7 o'clock and then Eastern time, and then 8 at 9 o'clock with the varsity group. So it'll be interesting to see how things work out with a reduced number of candidates on the stage. I think it should work out a whole lot easier, Sam.
Well, I think it probably will. And, I mean, you know, many are complaining, and I mean, there's no question about it, by the fact that those who are setting up these debates are, to some extent, determining who gets, pushed off to the junior leagues or off the stage altogether. Many are complaining about it, but on the other hand, I'm not sure how you do it, but I think this will be a better debate tonight. It's going to focus on the economy and business issues, and I've heard some of those that have been involved that says it's not going to be like the last debate that was off track considerably. But I hope that we're going to be able to see some substantive answers or questions asked with substantive answers being given to these issues of economy and business, which, frankly, gentlemen, I don't know that I can tell you really much of what any of these candidates really believe about economic or fiscal policy, because these debates haven't taken them anywhere of substance really anywhere so far.
Well, you know, that's true. You could probably guess something about where Donald Trump stands, but then you may not even be able to have the right guess on that because, you know, it's hard to read Donald Trump.
You know, Gary, I'm going to say this. You know, Trump is obviously a stellar businessman, but, you know, as far as when it comes to fiscal policy, we really know nothing about him. He's a big picture guy. He likes to talk in, you know, generalities. Tonight probably is going to get down to some very minute specifics of what these guys would do and what kind of, you know, financial policies they would implement if they were president. Probably it's going to favor someone like a Ted Cruz or a Marco Rubio, who have dealt with some of this because of their time in the Senate, and it's going to be distinctly to the disadvantage of someone like Donald Trump and Ben Carson. However, these guys may shock us tonight. It's going to be interesting one way or the other.
It's interesting to see how Newsmax has come out with their recent polling concerning the lineup tonight as far as the you know, their standings are concerned. You know, Donald Trump is at 54%. Ben Carson is at 18%. Marco Rubio, 4%. Ted Cruz, 16%. Is that correct? Jeb Bush, 1%. And of course, it goes down from there. My question to you, Sam, and of course, I'm asking you this because of the fact of, you know, your involvement with government and politics down through the years. That is a huge difference between Donald Trump and Ben Carson. I mean, that is a big, big, big spread. Why such a huge spread? I mean, Carson was on his way up.
Well, I'm not so sure that I necessarily agree with that. I mean, this is about 600 respondents so far on a Newsmax online poll, which, frankly, anybody who's listening can go and probably go to Newsmax and perhaps even get online to be able to go and register now. If we look at those numbers now, they may be changed. So it would be a targeted slot. And I think that a lot of the surveys that we're getting, Gary, tend to be far more somewhat subjective, selective in the audience that they're measuring, which is why we always have to take these things into account. That certainly, those numbers here do not to correspond with the other more nationally based surveys. So I'm not sure I agree with these, but it's interesting that perhaps the listeners of Newsmax do believe this.
Yeah. Now, here's a question that I want to ask, and either one of you can answer this. Are these debates fair? And the reason why I say that, you know, we've got so many running. Yes, we've got the two levels. We're calling it the varsity and the JV. But, you know, take, for instance of Chris Christie or Mike Huckabee. They have a whole lot of good things to tell people. But because of the fact that they've not been on prime time, their message has not been able to get out there. And so my question is, maybe I'm playing the devil's advocate here, have these debates been fair and just and equal with everybody? We don't have time to answer that. Maybe we'll answer that when we get back into the next segment. But think about that. Every one of these individuals want to run for the presidency of the United States. Every one of them should have the opportunity to have equal time in presenting their viewpoints, don't you think? And if that's the case, they are not getting equal time, or I should say, at least equal audience. Something to think about. Maybe we can talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back with more right after these messages after this break in just a few moments. So please stay tuned.
Tax laws are changing. Do you know how to navigate these changes so you don't pay more taxes than needed? These are very confusing times for tax planning and preparation. Don't wait until April. Do your tax planning now before the end of the calendar year while changes can still be made. This is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Dr. Livingston, I presume, was the greeting made this day, November 10th, 1871, by newspaper reporter Henry Stanley as he met Dr. David Livingston on the banks of Lake Tanganyika. Dr. Livingston, an internationally known missionary in Africa, had not been heard from in years, and the rumor spread he had died. Stanley, a skeptic, set out to find him and write a story. He described Dr. Livingston as a man who is sustained as well as guided by influences from heaven. The heroism, nobility, pure and stainless enthusiasm come beyond a question from Christ. There must therefore be a Christ.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Last Thursday evening, I had the honor of being the keynote speaker for the Life Choices Pregnancy Care Center Banquet in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Life Choices is a great pro-life ministry that features pregnancy care centers in three towns in western Pennsylvania, Katanning, Butler, and Indiana. All three centers have ultrasound machines which help abortion-minded pregnant girls and women who come into the center see the life that is growing inside them and in many cases then choose life. These centers, like the dozens like them all across Pennsylvania, are on the front lines of the battle to save unborn babies from the likes of Planned Parenthood and other abortion centers that sell death as a solution. If you agree with me that the right thing to do is to choose life, as God tells us in Deuteronomy 30, then do your part and financially support a pregnancy care center ministry near you. To be a partner in their life-saving services is simply awesome.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to have you with us today, and we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And again, we do encourage you to watch the GOP debate tonight. It will be held at 7 o'clock. That is, the varsity group will be held at 7 o'clock. The JV will be held at, the other way around. The varsity will be at 9 o'clock. The JV will be at 7 o'clock from the Milwaukee Theater. And it'll be aired on the Fox Business Network, and you'll be able to watch it either there. And if you don't have that, you can go online at foxbusiness.com. And, of course, there's a free live stream there for you, and I would encourage you to go and watch it. But before we delve into anything else too much, Dave and Sam, have you had the opportunity to think about that question that I gave? And that is it fair? Is it just? Is it right? I mean, you've got some of these men who are very down, very far down on the pole, as it were. And, you know, yet they've really not had the same opportunity to express their opinions and thoughts and ideas as the Donald Trumps and the Ben Carsons and others who are part of the Varsity Group. Should that be the case here in the United States of America? Who would like to go first?
Gary, I'll jump in and try to answer that. There is no system that is completely fair. The way things work and the way we've seen them work already in these debates is if you are in the top or toward the top tier, in the top tier as far as in the polls, you're obviously going to get more questions. If you have done or said something that has kept you in the news, like Donald Trump has said a lot and done a lot of things that, of course, has garnered him a lot of attention, then he tends to get more questions. Ben Carson, I have no doubt tonight, will probably get a sizable number of questions. So in one sense, Gary, it's not fair at all, but that's just the nature of the beast. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Gary and Dave, just a very quick comment on that. And that is this. There is no guaranteed success level for anybody who runs for office. I can tell you that. And all of these guys are on the same playing field. They have equal access to go touch the public. They have equal abilities to go and speak, set up little meetings and speak to rallies and that kind of thing. All of that is the first part of a preparatory step for somebody who's going to run for office. When you're speaking about televised debate, though, in that kind of a fashion, the fairness of that really comes down to really the honesty of the media that's doing the questioning. And obviously we saw that really profligated last week or last time in the last debate when it was a joke. By rights, I mean, the unfairness part of it is the untruthfulness and the lack of objective journalistic, you know, rigor and discipline that has gone into these questions so far and spending time on questions that really have not been intended to produce substantive answers or to give the candidates the ability to give substantive answers. That's the part that's unfair, in my opinion.
What would be your first question tonight, Sam? You know, if you happen to be one of those individuals who had the opportunity to, you know, be the reporter. It's the whole theme tonight is supposed to be on economy and business issues. What would you think would be the most significant question for each one of those individuals to answer?
Well, Gary, one of them would have to swirl around whether or not they have a conviction or their position, conviction, whether it would be relative to about debt levels of a nation. About perhaps, I mean, I'd probably zero in right on the legislation that was just passed in Washington, where the president was given nearly an uncapped spending spree for the balance of his term, and where Congress took and used the power of the purse and usurped it from the next term of Congress, their ability to do that, which was not right to do at all. There are some constitutional issues in there that can give rise to a real measure of the individual relative to how it was done, what was done, and can give an ability for them to talk about whether or not this debt ceiling and its impact on our nation's borrowing and the economies of the world, whether or not they even have any capacity to understand the magnitude of that or and how that comes together. Because, frankly, unless they understand those things, they really don't they don't have a full grasp on the economic conditions of this country. So I mean, something of that type, Gary, would give an opportunity for these individuals to weigh in, and I think in substantive areas.
You know, Dave, last night, late last night, I had a phone call from a listener who basically said, I have no idea what to look for in this debate. This individual actually called into our home, and I returned the call. And she said, I really don't know what to look for in this debate. How can I really learn what these men think economically and business-wise? And so, Dave, could you tell our audience what they should look for tonight in this debate?
Well, Gary, I'm going to go back and follow up on what Sam just said. I think the first question I would ask, and I think that that people should be looking for tonight, is simply this. What to you is an unacceptable debt level? And, is it $19 trillion of debt? Is it $25 trillion of debt? What to you is an unacceptable level of debt? And at what point in your mind does it become immoral? Obviously, Gary, we cannot continue, you know, doing what we're doing and have been doing for all these decades, and certainly been ratcheted up significantly under the Obama administration. So, you know, what do you as a candidate believe is an unacceptable debt level? And then at that point, or whatever point you believe it is unacceptable, and I would hope many of them would say where we are right now. In fact, way before we got to where we are right now was unacceptable. When we're spending money we don't have, that's unacceptable. Then my next question would be this: what is your plan to get us out of that? What are you going to do? What are you going to cut? Mm-hmm. Are you going to touch entitlements? And I think our mm-hmm. listening audience needs to pay attention to that. The one thing I've appreciated about Chris Christie is this. He has said it and said it clearly. Whether it's simply a ploy or whether he really believes it, I'm not sure. But he has brought up the issue, and that is this. We've got to deal with entitlements. We cannot deal mm-hmm. with our national debt until we deal with entitlements. And so I think our listeners ought to be paying attention to that and to the responses given to any question that borders on what I've just said.
And let me throw in one more thing here in addition, Gary and Dave, and that would be this. This is the perfect opportunity for a question to be asked relative to what do you believe to be the purpose of government?
Hmm.
Yep. Agreed.
In other words, what should be? Mm-hmm. What is the function? What is the legitimate constitutional function of the federal government? Where are mm-hmm. we spending money that is constitutional? Where are we spending money that is unconstitutional? Now, proper questions should take the debate down the road of constitutionality. But I guarantee you the questions are not going to go down the road of constitutionality tonight. They're not going to go that way.
Nowhere near there, Sam.
But the opportunity for the candidates to be able to express that will be, I mean, I think that you'll probably hear Cruz say something about constitutionality.
Absolutely. I agree.
I doubt whether you'll hear Trump say something about constitutionality. I'll be surprised. Maybe not. But I think you will hear from Cruz. But at least see those kind of things begin to give you a frame of reference for where these individuals are in their thinking relative to what they will do if they get there. Most of what we hear is cheap talk. It's made for the moment speech rather than real thinking processes that give you an idea of really what they believe. But you start actually asking those structural questions like that, now you get to really understand who the individual is.
So, Sam, do you lack confidence in the Fox Business News reporters who will be there?
Gary, from a constitutional perspective, I lack faith in most all of those who are out there right now. I mean, it's an amazing thing to which members of Congress – I mean, clearly the president has no regard for the Constitution, but beyond that, I mean, who in Congress, other than a small number, really keeps bringing the issue back up and saying, gentlemen, our constraint is the Constitution. Gentlemen and ladies, we haven't made an oath. What are we doing? What are the laws that we're talking about comport the Constitution? How often are we hearing that? Yet that is exactly the constraint that is placed upon them when they go. And the media is not taking them there because we've been so far off base constitutionally for a long time. Why do they want to go back there? They're all winning and gaming the system to some extent because we're not following the Constitution. But gentlemen, there's no possible way. I'm telling you, there's no possible way to bring ourselves back into spending constraints or to balance the budget or to bring our economy back to a powerful, robust state until we address that issue of the role of government and its continuity to the Constitution.
So that's something that we really need to be looking for tonight. And by virtue of the fact that people in Washington really have laid aside the United States Constitution, because they've done that, that's one of the reasons why we are where we are today in so much trouble economically, business-wise, and in so many other ways here in the United States of America. So that's a good point. So don't forget to watch it tonight at 7 o'clock for the JVs, at 9 o'clock for the varsities. That is the Fox Business Network on television. And if you don't get that, why, you can go to foxbusiness.com because there will be a free live stream available there. We encourage you, we beseech you to watch it for your information. We're going to take a break for about 3 minutes, and then we will be back with more Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Obama administration's asking the Supreme Court to approve a plan to protect some parents in the country illegally or people who came here as kids.
Republicans had criticized the president's plan as an illegal executive overreach when he announced it last November. Now, in a 2-1 decision, the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld a federal judge's injunction blocking the action. A White House official insisted that the federal government can set priorities in enforcing immigration law.
Fox's John Decker at the White House. The Senate has passed a defense bill banning detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, from being brought to prisons in the U.S.
The yeas are 91. The nays are 3. The motion is agreed to.
The House passed that bill last week. It authorizes a 1.3% raise for service members and money for Iraqi troops to fight Islamic State terrorists. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for you. Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
Can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to have you there by the radio or the computer, however you are listening, to Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network, along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dull, and we are just delighted to have you with us. For those of you who happen to listen to a radio station where the Fox News update is given at the bottom of the hour, you know that an appeals court has actually ruled against the Obama immigration plan. And what we have found out, and we had this news item before us even before Fox broke it there or mentioned it there, President Obama's executive action preventing the deportation of an estimated 5 million people living in the United States illegally suffered another setback yesterday after a federal appeals court upheld a federal judge's injunction blocking the measure. The 2-1 decision by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans further dims the prospect of implementation of the executive action before Obama leaves office in 2017. And, of course, that is simply because of the fact that the appeals over this injunction could take many, many months. Well, the Republicans had criticized the plan as an illegal executive overreach when Obama announced it last November. In addition to that, 26 states challenged the plan in court, and U.S. District Court Judge Andrew Hayden granted the temporary injunction preventing the order's implementation this past February, agreeing with the states that legalizing the presence of so many people would be a, quote, virtually irreversible action that would cause the states, quote, irreparable harm, end quote. Sam, what do you think of that, my friend?
Well, Gary, that's one of the better rulings that I've heard for a long time. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, when you use those terminologies, irreparable, you know, and those kinds of terms, in fact, Gary, that is true. But, you know, but that's the odd thing about the whole thing. And in our last segment here, just before the break, we were talking about the issues of constitutionality. And when we talk about Republican candidates and others, I mean, the discussions ought to be going that way, because this president has had no regard for the Constitution. He knew that he had no authority to do that, and he's been testing the system all the way through. Now, in the reality of it is, though, that the longer these people are here, and at this point, when this administration continues to bring in hundreds of thousands of individuals month after month into this country, it adds to this already big problem. I'm not so sure, Garrett, gentlemen, that it's already at the point of being almost an impossible circumstance. Whether you give them legal status or not, they're here and the door is still open. That's the amazing thing about it here.
We know the thing that's always concerned me down through this whole process is the fact that they are here illegally. And something that's illegal is illegal. As a matter of fact, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said in a news release, and I quote, President Obama should abandon his lawless executive amnesty program and start enforcing the law today, end quote. Hmm. You know, that's a pretty strong statement.
Well, it is, and he's got it right, because he is speaking as a governor. He's mm-hmm. speaking with the knowledge of the Constitution's 10th Amendment. That gives protection for the sovereign states, of which the president, by doing what he's doing and moving these individuals in across the country, I know it's not specifically a part of this, but it's a part of the larger issue. I mean, gentlemen, if you're looking at the news of what's happening in Europe right now, and all the immigration coming out of Syria into Europe, and they're talking about potential collapse of Europe as we know it. And they're talking about major problems during this winter time because they've got now these more than hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people there that they don't know how to keep them warm. They don't know how to feed them. There's a problem occurring there in Europe. It's the same things happening here. We may be seeing it in the news about the migration implications for Europe's economy and their nation, but it has been happening here for a long time. This is all a part of it, and it continues to happen as we speak. It is a very serious matter.
It is, and Dave, it's interesting to note that the administration is arguing that the executive branch was within its rights in deciding to defer deportation of selected groups of immigrants, including children who were brought into the United States illegally. They are saying, we have the right to do that. That's, I guess, why they're taking it to the United States Supreme Court. But that's, as we would see it, that's a total misinterpretation of the law, total misinterpretation of the Constitution, correct?
Well, Gary, it is, but that's what this administration has done incessantly. They have made decisions, you know, that are just unilateral. The president has said, I believe that I have the right to do this. I believe I am acting within the United States Constitution, when he's acting nowhere within the confines of the United States Constitution. Gentlemen, I have no doubt what he's going to do is this. He's probably going to go ahead and issue this executive order and then let it be challenged in the courts, and it'll be tied up and, stretched out so long that, these people will continue to come in, as Sam said, because the door is still wide open. They're coming in by the hundreds of thousands every month. That will continue to happen. These 5 million will continue to be batted about and used as legal fodder. And the discussion will go on and on and on and linger on and on and on. And then nothing ultimately will happen. And the president is just lawless, gentlemen. He is absolutely lawless, violent disregard for the Constitution and anything remotely close to it.
And Dave, I'm going to throw in there, tonight when we're talking about the debate, we're talking about what the questions they should have. I would suggest and say that we ought to hear from some of the candidates, and probably will from Trump on immigration. I'm sure he'll weigh in on this issue. On immigration tonight, because it directly impacts our economy.
It does indeed.
And some will say, bring them in. I mean, big business is saying, bring them in because it's cheap labor. I mean, believe it or not.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, what's it doing to the economy and to the whole breakup of our culture? That is a cost to our economy as well. So I believe that this issue we're talking about here, affected by this court ruling in the Fifth Circuit Court, ought to be something that we ought to note to see who talks about that tonight as far as the candidates are concerned.
In addition to this, the Justice Department said in a statement that it disagreed with the court's ruling, claiming that Obama's action would, quote, now, allow DHS to bring greater accountability to our immigration system by prioritizing the removal of the worst offenders, not people who have long ties to the United States and who are raising American children. Dave, you're getting a kick out of that.
Gary, that's laughable. That is laughable. We're talking about the same administration that has released prisoners inside the United States, that has released, people that are enemy combatants from Gitmo, and now wants to bring those people from Gitmo here. Are we going to have confidence in this administration that they're going to improve anything whatsoever? It's absolutely laughable for them to issue that kind of an argument. They have to level that argument, so that they have some kind of quote unquote basis upon which to make the decision that the president's probably going to make, which is an executive action, an executive order. But Gary, it's laughable for them to even suggest this kind of thing.
And unfortunately, the list that they have that identify the real terrorists in this country are Christian people, constitutional people, Second Amendment people, the patriotic people, not the terrorists who are
Correct.
Among us. I mean, so gentlemen,
Correct.
if they go by the list that they're using, it'll be you and me. It won't be the guy that's coming in from Syria right now who's probably a jihadist.
Why can't we just follow the law? I mean, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said it. President Obama should abandon his lawless executive amnesty program and start enforcing the law today. Excuse me. Why can't we just do that? I told you, man, about a call that I received at my home last night from an individual. And she came back to me two or three times saying, what can we as the American citizens do with this whole concept of lawlessness that's going on in the country? What can we do, Sam?
Well, Gary, we can, for those who are Christians, we better pray, because ultimately lawlessness comes down to a spiritual condition of a person's heart.
Right.
And we either are under God or we believe that we are God. I mean, that's as simple terms as I can put it. And for those who are in Washington, for those who are lawless, as Governor Abbott said, the lawless are those who believe they are God, little gods. And they don't believe that they have a duty to abide by anybody else's restrictions, meaning the Constitution or rights of governed by the people. I mean, these things sit outside that. Ultimately, it's a condition of the heart, Gary, and so that is a spiritual condition we must pray for. But I'm going to come back in and say this is why it's so important that the pastors of the pulpits of America are preaching these current events in these lights, because it's the only answer to the fixing of these problems.
Amen. Well, yeah, and that's not a hard answer. You just go back to the Bible, you go back to the Constitution, because both express law, God's law and civil law, and that's all we need to do. That doesn't seem to be too hard for me to pick up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a four-minute break, and then we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, talking about who are God's ambassadors. Stay tuned.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed the final judgment on the Jerusalem of his day. Could his words be the final words of judgment on America? His message was one of final judgment. No more warnings, no more time. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In verse 24, God said, "I'll destroy your nation because you've rejected my commands and despised my holy name. Therefore, my fearsome anger will come against you, and no nation will stand against me." In that day, Israel deserved God's judgment. We in America should look in the mirror and consider our sins in light of Israel then. Materialism, apathy, ignorance, moral relativism, addictions of all types, bribery and corruption, rampant dishonesty, persecution of the righteous. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, urging you to hear and heed. Repent and call out to God now, because our time is about up.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
So, who are divine ambassadors, ladies and gentlemen? Thousands of Orthodox rabbis just concluded a meeting in New York City, and one rabbi named Shiloh Kane made a very, very interesting statement. He said, "I am at my essence a divine ambassador. I am at my essence a divine ambassador." Sam, there you have it. You wanted to know who a divine ambassador was? It's Rabbi Kane.
Well, you know what, Gary? I think when I heard that statement, I said, you know what? There's something rather very, very profound about that, and we could spend a whole lot more time than we have right now, but let me just take you to the definition of ambassador. What is an ambassador? Here it is, out of Webster's. An ambassador is a minister of the highest rank employed by a prince or a state at the court of another to manage the public concerns of his state or prince, and representing the power and the dignity of his sovereign. Ambassadors are ordinary when they reside permanently in a foreign court, or extraordinary when they are sent on a special mission. They are also called ministers. Now, that has something very significant to it, because as an ambassador, see, there is a political component. We send ambassadors to every country, the nations of the world. We receive ambassadors. There's Ambassador's Row right down in D.C. You can go down. Every nation sends them here. Ambassadors have always played a very critical role. We often don't think about what their role really is. But when the rabbi took and linked together divine with ambassador, the political, he's now linking together a spiritual component with that of the political. Now, as a Jewish rabbi, I think that's very significant, but I think that also has great application to those of us who are Christians, and those of us who believe, Gary, that those who serve in office are called ministers of God. You could say ambassadors of God if in office. But I think there's a real discussion we ought to have here, Dave. I don't know what are your thinking about that, because I think the significance of this could be pretty significant here.
Well, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul was speaking. He said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." So, you know, Paul viewed himself as an ambassador for the very God of heaven and of Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, you know, I'm going to concur with what the rabbi said. I believe every believer is an ambassador for Christ, but I believe the man who stands in the pulpit as a preacher of the Word of God, a believer in the Word of God and a proclaimer of the Word of God, he represents another kingdom, and that kingdom is a heavenly one. So that places upon us, gentlemen, as preachers, a very high responsibility, a phenomenal responsibility. And that responsibility is placed upon every preacher of the gospel. So, I'm the sense in which maybe this rabbi was using the term was a little different. But this is a scriptural concept, very much a scriptural concept.
Gary, I'm sorry, you generally ask the questions. I'm going to ask you a question. You've been a pastor now for 40 years. Dave's an evangelist. I've never been a pastor. I preach, but I've never been a pastor. You have. How many pastors do you think across America have actually ever considered themselves as an ambassador or know the responsibilities, as perhaps I even read in that definition from Webster's?
I would think, unfortunately, very few. I would say that most pastors would look at themselves as ambassadors based upon that 2 Corinthians 5 passage that Brother Dave read, 2 Corinthians 5:20, and certainly we are ambassadors for Christ in that sense, and we are here representing Jesus Christ. And I think that most of the pastors in the pulpit today, most evangelical pastors in the pulpit today would agree to that. But when it comes to the point of recognizing, and here's where I'd make the distinction. When it comes to the point where pastors recognize that they are God's authority representing Jesus Christ in that pulpit as those who are the portrayers of the Word of God, and beyond that, they are God's authorities in the community in which God has placed them, thus being God's ambassadors as a preacher. I think that there are many, 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 many pastors in pulpits who don't recognize that. And that's one of the reasons why I've proclaimed that for years. That's one of the reasons why I do everything that I possibly can to be involved in the community, not just to build relationships, but also to be there as God's spokesman. We as Christians in general certainly speak for the Lord. We are a part of the body of Christ, the church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, Sam and Dave. But the pastors, they have got a direct responsibility from God to act as prophets in the study of and the proclamation of the Word of God. And I think this is one of the reasons why our pulpits are rather weak today. Many pastors don't understand their divine responsibility before Almighty God.
And Gary, if I could...
Dave, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sam, but Gary, if I could quickly say this before we have to leave the air today. One of the greatest messages I've ever read was a message preached by B.H. Carroll, who was an old-time Southern Baptist preacher. At one time, he was the president of Baylor University many, many years ago when Baylor was a bastion of truth. And he preached a message on this very topic called "I Magnify Mine Office," which is taken from Paul's statement in Romans 11, verse number 13. That is one of the greatest messages dealing with our ambassadorship as preachers of the gospel. We don't, Gary, I think, as you have so eloquently said, we don't as preachers understand the magnitude of the ministry God's given us. We are not just representatives of God to men on this earth, but we have a responsibility before, I believe, kings, elected mm-hmm. officials. We represent a divine kingdom to them. And O.B.H. Carroll hits the nail on the head. By the way, I read that message from a great book series called 20 Centuries of Great Preaching. Some of our pastors may actually have that set in their library. But if you Google "I Magnify Mine Office" by B.H. Carroll, you can read probably the greatest statement ever made on this very topic.
Amen. Sam?
Well, Gary, I was just going to go back and make a point. You know, you're saying that many don't know. I agree that with that. But, you know, ambassadors, in the truest sense of the word, as we understand them, are actually sent by, as the definition says, by their sovereign, somebody who's in charge. We as Christians say that is God himself. But with that also comes a great deal of responsibility, because the sovereign who sends can also recall.
Right.
The sovereign who sends is going to say, how did you do in the calling that I sent you to do? Did you represent me right? Did you represent me well? I mean, how does that factor in, if people really understood that? And you don't have time to answer, but do it quick.
Well, the point is that the responsibility is great, and we will give an account to God. That's why there's a special crown given to pastors in 1 Peter chapter 5, I think it is. And, a special reward given to those who are faithful pastors. And we must submit ourselves to what the Word of God tells us that we are, no doubt about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that tomorrow is Veterans Day. And so I would encourage you in every possible way to honor the veterans. Let them know that you're thankful for the fact that they exist for our freedom. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.